Now let's get to our guest, Kieran Calder, head of equity research for Asia at UBP. So globally, Kieran, we have this debate about whether or not we'll have a soft landing in the global economy. And in China, we have a kind of binary situation here where many people think that the Chinese consumer will be really raring to go and get out there and spend. And then there's the other side of the argument, which is sclerotic behavior because of how many issues the Chinese economy has, not just the COVID-19 overhang, but also property and other issues. How do you see the China story developing?
Okay, good morning. So for us, we think China is probably, at least on a tactical basis, the best story in Asia and probably globally from an equity markets point of view. So, obviously, over the last, 3 to 4 weeks, the situation or the government response on COVID has just completely changed 180 degrees. And so it's going to be, we think, pretty messy over the next few weeks and maybe months as this sort of exit wave plays out. And obviously, there's a possibly large human cost associated with that, which we'll never be told the numbers probably. Looking past that, we think that probably in the next 6 months from now, China will be fully emerged from COVID, and we think that's a great positive, not just for China equity market, but also for things like supply chain issues, which have been impacted by COVID, for travel, especially around Asia, where Chinese travelers are such a large proportion, or pre 2020 were such a large proportion of travelers. So we think it's a positive story, but it's a little bit messy here at the beginning.
Yeah, so you want to take a longer term view, but what about a sector specific view? What do you do there?
Well, pointed out there are still issues related to misinvestment, et cetera, in the past. So we would certainly want to avoid areas like real estate. The bank sector is also connected to that a little bit, but there are other areas which are positive. So, the consumer related areas, including what they call in China NEV, so new energy vehicles, where there's a lot of players there, which are all seeing pretty dramatic increases in deliveries, most of them. For example, some of the staples related names we think look pretty good as well. And insurance is a sector which has been knocked down, and we've seen in other markets coming out of the COVID, where insurers have a little bit of there's a little bit of extra demand. People realize the value of particularly health insurance, and that can possibly lead to a bit of pricing power as well. So we think beaten down insurance names are also an area to look at.
Among the other possible negatives for China would be if Europe, which looks to be in recession, if the U.S. were to also go into recession. Do you see that happening? And is that sort of part of the Fed playbook that they really have to do whatever it takes on inflation and so be it?
Yeah. For us, we sort of agree with those that think that Europe is already in recession. We think, there's obviously a rising risk of recession in the U.S., but, you mentioned earlier the comments from Bill Dudley that, the Fed can easily turn it around if they need to by loosening a bit. So the big risk around recession is that in previous recessions, like if we look back at average recessions following rate hikes, EPS falls by about 20%, 25% from peak to trough. And so far, earnings are not down for S&P, and revisions have only just turned a little bit negative. So the real risk of recession is on the earnings part. And I think the comments probably from Bill Dudley are probably a little bit reassuring in that, the risk is not a 25% decline in earnings. But to get to your point, the Fed is obviously very focused on inflation, and this needs to come down. It's probably peaked.
And they're sort of boxed in, though, aren't they? Aren't they sort of boxed in? They've told us that the data matters. They will wait until they see it, and not just see it coming down, but getting closer to their 2% target. And that is even knowing that there's a lagged effect. It seems like it's almost inevitable then that they go too far, just as they went too far in waiting last year.
Yeah, absolutely, certainly possible. And don't forget that, you know, if you look at the futures, which you're expecting, you know, the first rate cut to come in the middle of this year, if you compare to previous aggressive rate hike cycles, the period between the last hike and the first cut has been between 6 and 9 months. So it's dependent on the data. I think we'll probably see, again, based on the dots, you know, a terminal rate around 5 or a little higher, and they want to keep it there until we see inflation and PCE closer to the 2% number, as long as the economy can handle it.
Now, from an investing perspective, you say you should treat higher but easing inflation as an opportunity. Can you describe what you mean by that?
Yeah, so we've taken a look again at previous bouts of high inflation, and we've seen that in the period. So this is more on a tactical sort of basis. In the period when that number is coming down, it's generally a positive, trading opportunity for S&P in general. But maybe more specifically, we think it's also an opportunity to focus on a few strategies that will probably emerge from here, which is one is to focus on companies are going to benefit from a reallocation of spending towards things like energy transition and also infrastructure. And then we also think that investors in this sort of period should focus a little bit more on dividends and income as a key driver of total returns, which don't forget over the very long term has contributed about a third of total returns for S&P 500. So go ahead.
With that in mind, do you think that bond yields will continue lower? And then what does that do about getting yield?
Yeah, I mean, so I'm specifically talking about equity yield. Another equity yield strategy, which has typically done well in previous rate hike cycles, especially the second year after the rate hike liftoff, which obviously will be from this March, is a dividend aristocrat. So this is obviously a sort of quality style with a focus on dividend consistency. So in previous aggressive rate hike cycles, the 12 to 24 month period afterwards has been the real sweet spot for dividend aristocrats. So that's kind of the area that we would want to focus on.
Okay. Well, thanks very much, Kieran. We are out of time, unfortunately, in this, but a good long session. Thanks very much for joining us. Interesting to hear your views. Kieran Calder, head of equity research for Asia at UBP.